him are not going to be called that. And so the name Christian was derived from Christ. Certainly, the term today is used. In many ways, it's used very, very loosely. Because there are many people in the world today that will live their lives in a way that doesn't much resemble the Lord at all, but yet call themselves a Christian. They may call themselves a Christian for no other reason than that they assemble somewhere with a group of people on a Sunday morning, perhaps, for a time of worship, and call themselves Christian based upon nothing more than that. There are people within the realm of religion today that will profess to be Christian, but they don't know Christ. Now, I'm not trying today to degrade or put anybody down, but that's just a fact. They don't really know the Lord Jesus Christ. Haven't really come to know him in a pardon and forgiveness of sin. But yet, they say, I am a Christian. They may frequent the things of the world all week long, but then on one day of the week, proclaim to be a Christian. But you know, listen, being a Christian is not just what we are, it's a way of life. And I believe that's what we find when we consider the fact that Christian defined means a follower of Christ. It's not someone who just proclaims to be that. It's not just, Jesus spoke about the Jews and the religion that they had. He spoke about them one time and he said, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And that's been the case in religion for many, many, many years now. The true Christian, the person that could really proclaim that or could really be called that, has had a change of heart that was wrought by the work of God, by the hands of God, by the operation of God. Given the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ, a man who lived here in the world, he lived here as a man, and he faced every temptation, but yet the Bible tells us that he faced them without sin. Jesus never sinned. He was never guilty of sin. And I despise it when people say that he did. There are people that have been proclaiming for several years now that Jesus Christ was a sinner. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus was never guilty of sin. Amen. Not one time. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus faced everything that he was tempted with, but he faced it without sin. And so given that the character of the one upon which we are founded, doesn't it just stand to reason that to be a Christian would require a high level or a exalted level of moral excellence? Certainly it does. But you know, truly, I believe that oftentimes that that gets misconstrued, and that's where it stops. Because certainly we as children of God, we ought to live our lives, we ought to strive for moral excellence as much as we possibly can. You know, we are taught in the scriptures, and if you read in 1 John, you'll find this to be true. We are taught in the scriptures that no matter how hard that we try, that we are going to sin. And if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But we are not taught, given the fact that we know that we know our weakness and we know our infirmity, we are not supposed to just say, well, I can't help it, and so I'll just sin. Because John also said, if you go right into the second chapter in the first verse, you'll find that he said, little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. So we are to strive not to sin. We know we will because we have the nature of Adam. We know that we will, but thank God when we do, he said, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. And as Christians, we need to use that God has given to us. We have need of daily repentance before God, that we might stay in fellowship with God, that we might live our lives as close to God as we possibly can. So what do we read about? As I've started to say, I'm afraid that many times we look at the moral character that we ought to have as the people of God, and we might consider that that's all that's necessary. But I'm going to tell you something. These people, and I believe what brought this about, there in Antioch, when these disciples were first called Christians, I believe that there was more than moral character that was seen in them. They were following Christ. We read about one of the prominent religions that we read about in the scriptures, the Pharisees. They were well known for moral character. They believed that their moral character was what would justify them before God. And so naturally, they would do everything that they could to try to keep the law. If the law said do this, they try to do it. If it said don't do this, they try not to do it. That's how they would live. And you could have looked at a Pharisee as a person of very high moral excellence, moral character. But you know what? They were not followers of Christ. Many times in the scriptures we see that every time that Jesus and the Pharisees would meet up with each other, you know what Jesus would tell them? That what you are doing and what you believe is not good enough to get you to heaven. Isn't that what happened there when he met up with Nicodemus? Listen to me, friend, if you're here today and you're lost, there's only one way to make it to heaven. There's only one door, and Jesus is the door, and you're going to enter through that door. You're not going to make it. You're going to miss heaven, and you're going to spend an eternity in hell. The Lord only made one way. And you read in the third chapter of John when the Lord Jesus Christ met up with this Pharisee named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a man of prominence. He was a ruler of the Jews. He held a high position in his religion. But when Jesus spoke to him, and he even came to Jesus and he said, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He acknowledged some things about Jesus. He believed that Jesus was a good religious teacher, but not very far at all into the conversation, Jesus said, you must be born again. you must be born again. You must have something. You must experience something that takes place between you and God. Friends, listen today. Salvation is not between you and men. Salvation is between you and God. If all you have is something that took place between you and another human being, then you don't have vital religion. There's no man that can forgive you of your sins. Only God can forgive sins. And so salvation is of the Lord, and salvation takes place between you and the Lord. And I would encourage you today and urge you today and caution you today, don't ever let anybody tell you that you're saved. You let God take care of that. You seek the Lord. You turn to God. You repent of your sins. You place your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you wait for that great witness of the Holy Spirit in your heart that lets you know that you have been saved by God's grace. That's what I've got. That's what I've got. And you know what? When I stand before God, that's what I'm going to rely on. That's what I'm relying on today. I don't want anything else. I don't want anything different, because what happened to me in that hour when the Lord spoke peace to my soul, I know that it came from God. God made it plain to me that it was Him that was speaking to me and let me know that I was saved. Well, you know, maybe that's just your thoughts, preacher. No, it's not. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The born-again experience is not just something that's been born in the mind of man. Friends, it's Bible. It's Scripture. It's God's Word. Again, Jesus Himself said you must be born again. And how do you know when you're born again? When it happens to you, the Holy Spirit of God will bear witness with your spirit that it has happened. And let me tell you something. God can make things plain to you. He can make that very plain to you. And that's what you need to seek after. That's where Christianity starts. That's where it all starts. The Bible says that it's not by works of righteousness, which we have done. That's what the Pharisees were depending upon. That's what many people today are depending upon. Good moral character, a good living a good moral life, doing good things. That's what many people today are still depending upon to get them into heaven. But friends, you need to understand this, that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it doesn't make any difference how good you try to live your life or how clean you may try to live your life. The fact is that we are by nature the sinners. And because of that, we're under God's wrath. We're condemned. I'm going to tell you today what the Scripture says about you. If you have not believed with all your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says you're condemned now. You're condemned already. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 3, about verse 17 or so, I believe, is where you'll find that recorded. A Christian is someone who follows after Christ, who believes in His teachings, who believes in His precepts, who believes in His example, and tries to live their life according to that. Some of the things that the Scriptures tell us about these people, if you find someone that's a true Christian, you know, one of the characteristics that you'll find concerning that person is you'll find someone that acknowledges that they're not their own. that they don't belong to themselves. That's what Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. And he said, you are bought with a price. You are not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I heard this. I want you to think about this. I heard this said, I believe it was Sister Lori Brady. I heard this said a couple of weeks back. And it really hit me when this was said. And I believe that, I don't remember exactly. I think she was making reference to a song or something that she had heard. But it really sparked a great thought in my mind. And she said that she had heard this. I want you to think about this today. All of us today, those of us who are saved today, I want you to consider this. If you were arrested and the charge was being a Christian, would they find enough evidence in your life to convict you of the crime? I don't know a whole lot about the legal system. I know a little bit that I learned in school. And I saw Law and Order. I saw what they do. You know, they depict the legal system. I know they're in the legal system. I know you have a judge. I know you have somebody that prosecutes. I know you have somebody that investigates the crime. And they try to go out and they try to find out when that person has been charged with a crime. They try to find out through investigation everything that they can about that person that they might be able to determine, is this person guilty of what they have been charged with, or is it a false charge? Well, that's really something to think about, isn't it? If they examine your life, if someone examines your life, would they find someone who believes that they're not their own, that the things they have are not their own? Would they find someone that's spoken about in the 12th chapter of Romans, where Paul wrote to those people and he said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Would they find that, or would they look at you and say, well, that person seems to be awfully attracted to the things of the world? Big question, isn't it? I mean, that's a big question to ask yourself. If they arrested me for that, would they find enough proof to condemn me and convict me of the crime? Jesus said, in order to be a disciple, you've got to deny yourself. That's not easy for humans to do, is it? And you know what? A lot of people, I'm afraid a lot of people find that out, and then they forsake the Lord and they go back into the world and they live their life according to what they want to do. But would somebody please show me the scripture? I must have missed it somewhere. Somebody show me the scripture where the Lord Jesus Christ ever promised anybody that serving him would come easy. No. There are hardships. You know what? Paul, in writing to Timothy, he said, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Now, there's your Christianity. Should we live moral, exemplary lives? Absolutely. But you know what? There's a difference between that and living godly in Christ Jesus. We are to be witnesses in his name, to this world, to those that we come in contact with. What about that? What if they examine your life and somebody watched you from day to day and they came back and they gave the report and they said, well, you know, one thing that I did find kind of strange is that this book, these rules that they're supposed to be going by tells me a lot of things about the fact that they're supposed to be telling other people It was mentioned, Sister Parker, I mentioned the scripture this morning. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. And that's what we're supposed to do. And we're supposed to witness to other people about Christ. Would they have to say, well, I checked that person out all day long and I never found them telling anybody else about what they needed to do to be saved? Big question. Lot to consider. But I want to say this again. It all starts with a proper relationship with Christ. If you don't have that, you don't have anything. If you have not been born again by the Spirit of God, then you don't have any foundation for Christianity at all. None. It must start with a proper relationship between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the foundation that it must all be built upon. Christians, followers of Christ, followers of His teachings, of His precepts, and His examples that He left for us here to follow in this world. Jesus left His church here to be a working organization, to go into all the world preaching the gospel to every creature. If you're here today and you're not saved, you can be. You certainly can be. The question was asked many times by different people in the scriptures, what must I do to be saved? Well, the answer is always found in believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Placing your full faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repenting of your sins and placing your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's salvation in Him and there is no salvation in any other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's be Christians. Let's be Christians. We have the guidelines right here for what it takes to be one. We're told in this good old book the characteristics that you will find in a Christian, in a child of God, in a saint. I'm afraid, and you're probably tired of hearing it, but I'm afraid that we have all become far too attracted with the temporal things of this world. Far too attracted. You know what? That's the last thing that Jesus wanted His people to be. That was one of the things that He said in His prayer to God before He left the world. He said, they're in the world, but they're not of the world. And He inspired John to write and say, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, they are not of the Father, they're of the world. And He wanted us to be a separate people, a peculiar people, that our lights might shine. We need to be shining brightly because there's darkness. I mean, there's great darkness in the world. And listen, if we don't shine as Christians, if we don't shine as the people of God, if we don't illuminate the way to Christ, they won't see it. I'll tell you what, nobody else is going to do it. Jesus told His church, you are the light of the world. You are that city set on a hill. If the light that's in you, He asked His disciples one time, if the light that's in you be darkness, how great is that darkness? If we don't let our light shine, they're not going to see any light. They're just going to wander in darkness. I thank God for the people that lived their lives before me when I was lost and let their light shine. I was able to see something about that person that was way different than what I was. I'll tell you what, if you're here today and you're lost, I hope you know this. What a great privilege you have. And I don't mean this in an exalted way, but what a great privilege you have to be among the people of God, because they're people that care for your soul. What a great privilege you have to hear about Christ, because He died. He died for your sins so that you could have a way back to God. You ask yourself, if I were arrested and charged, is there enough evidence? I heard somebody once say, if every member of my church were a member like me, what kind of church would my church be? That's a big question too, isn't it? A big question. I'd like for us to have a song. You may be ready to go. You may want to go eat supper or eat lunch with Mom, but I think we ought to give an opportunity and an invitation. If there's anybody here today that needs to seek the Lord, I want to encourage you to come. Come. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come and seek Him. With all your heart, come and be saved by His grace. And don't settle for anything less than God letting you know that you've made peace with Him while we stand and sing.
197. 197.